We have entitled our time together In His Steps. And again, you may not know this, but that was a special request. Because our actual parenting seminar is entitled First Steps, but everybody seems to think that that means we're talking about the early days of parenting, a kid's first steps. And to some degree, that's true. We all, those of you with children, you remember when your kids didn't talk and didn't walk. And you began to try to encourage them to walk, right? I always say they don't speak and we try to teach them to talk. They don't walk, we try to teach them to walk. And then we say, sit down and be quiet. It's perplexing to me, but that's the way we do it. But when a kid makes that first step, it is incredible. For our kids, we would watch them struggle with it, and we tried to help them. Our job was to maybe kind of hold them up as they got their legs, so to speak, under them. Maybe it was that we would encourage them by setting out in front of them. We used to take our kids and we would stand them against the wall. You know, they had enough strength to stand, and they think, and then they would try to lean away from the wall, and they would almost always initially fall down, but we would catch them because we were walk, but protect them when they fall. Any of you recognize this particular? Now, I don't want to say anything. This is the Cadillac version of it, because this one has at the top, it has this rattle. So I don't hold it very much because it makes a lot of noise, and it makes some of the other guys jealous that I have it. But this one. The things that we would do is we would take one of these rings off of this play school toy, and it was a favorite of our kids, and we would hold it out to them. We found that was better than holding out a candy bar. I mean, they liked the candy bar better, but it wasn't really good parenting. But we'd hold it out and they would reach for it. Or maybe it is that they would take hold of it and then we would hold on to it, and they would think that they were walking because we were giving them that strength and stability. To this day, my kids still walk around like this, okay? That's because they're still looking for that ring. But I realized that as our children grow, they are met with one new first step after another first step. In other words, they learn to walk and they learn to run. They learn to engage new things, and each and every step along the way in many respects is a brand new first step. And so, first steps are for our kids at whatever season of life that they are. We want you to think in terms of that parenting is giving your children something to hold on to until the point that you can't hold on to them anymore. It is funny that it seems as if when a child is born and the umbilical cord is cut, that a child does everything in their power to get away from mom and dad, at least until they get in their early 20s and run out of money, and then they come back home sometimes. But from the moment that that cord is cut, mom and dad keep trying to reel them in the whole time. It is a hard thing to grasp that eventually we're going to have to let go of our children. But we don't want to do so and just let them go. We want to give them something, or more appropriately, someone to hold on to after we let them go. That's what we believe that the real role of parenting is. But it's not only first steps for our kids, it's first steps for us as well. If there's anything I've discovered in parenting, is just about the time you have it all figured out, the rules change. Well, maybe not the rules, but the kid changes. Tammy and I have 5 children. We have 4 boys, and the youngest is our daughter, a girl. When Tammy and I began to have kids, we started talking about who was in charge of what responsibility, and I will just tell you, the agreement was this, and we only had one boy at the time, but if it had to do with, how do I do this delicately, boy things, boy parts, it was my responsibility to address or to deal with those. And that, if it had to do with girl things, girl stuff, girl parts, it would be Tammy's. That seemed like a great arrangement until boy number 2 came. And then boy number 3 came. And then boy number four came. Finally, a girl came, and I realized I got the better end of the deal. I was so glad that Tammy had agreed ignorantly to take care of all of those girl things. But for us, even the process of babies changed. The four boys, Tammy has a, it's always easy for the husband to say, she has a very easy pregnancy. And she goes, well, it was easy on you. It was still 9 months tough on me. But Tammy gets pregnant easy. She has good pregnancies. She delivers pretty quickly. And so from the standpoint of in relationship to others, it's pretty smooth. But not with our daughter. Our daughter, first of all, was a girl. She was breech. She couldn't be turned. She had to be taken C-section. She had some interesting things in the hospital. She began to lactate. She had her milk come in as a result of excessive female hormones, which we will discover later continued in her life. She had a period in the hospital, which was perplexing to her dad, who went, I don't think this is supposed to be like this. And at about 18 months, she was sitting in the kitchen floor and did this. And I went, oh, one of these things is not like the others. So we thought we had we had two boys that were 11 months apart. And when I went into the hospital at the same time, I had a niece and a nephew, both that were born about the same time at the same hospital. They knew us by name. And when we were in the delivery room, the delivery nurse told me, she goes, do you know where those cloths are in that bottom drawer over there? Would you get? I'm like, I'm not even on staff here, but I'm so familiar. We had it figured out, and then the rules changed. And they changed as they did begin to walk and as they began to talk. And so they say that it takes 200 muscles in the human body to take one step. It takes experience, it takes practice, it takes balance. And so for parents, we at the same time are taking steps that are our first steps. And you may think because you had parents or you had great godly parents or because you were a kid that took the first steps that we are automatically equipped for these first steps. And most of you, if you have children at all, have found out what? That ain't the case, right? It takes a whole lot more. And so what we want to do today is we want to spend some time helping you take not the first steps that are already passed, but looking ahead to the certainty of first steps that will be part of your parenting until your children leave and beyond. And so we're going to spend some time in that. We're going to start our day being what I consider kind of technical. We want to lay some groundwork, some things that come out of Scripture to help us. And as our day moves on, we have some opportunity for some breakouts. We're going to move to more practical. So I'm going to ask you to kind of stick with the early part that can be a little laborious and seem a little academic and try to see if before the day is out, we can't take those things and see how they can equip us no matter what season of parenting you are currently in or what particular situations and circumstances that you're in. Before we look at the very first thing, I'm going to ask a special request of all of you as parents. Tammy and I received word this morning that a young girl by the name of Grace, who we knew in California, who has been struggling over the last, it's been almost 8 years with cancer. She received word yesterday that the cancer has returned into her brain and body, and they're going to give her somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks to live. And that's really been tough on parents who have spent most of the last few years in a hospital relying on God and having hope and then having hope shattered. Just as parents, you will understand more than anyone. And so I would ask you to, in your personal prayers, remember Grace and the Whited family. I would appreciate it. I know they will, because the days ahead, those new first steps are going to be perhaps some of the most difficult that they have ever be taken. I will say that as welcoming as this church is, I thought it was great that the guy that invited me left town. that's always a little disconcerting. And so I was trying to think about, well, what all could I say before David gets back today about David? But were all the ocean ink and all the sky a parchment, I would not have enough time to tell you everything. No. No, I thought about what would be some of the things that I would look over at him and see if he felt comfortable when I said it, because I really appreciate him and his knowledge of God's word. But I'm going to just say this right now, that I'm going to set before you what I think is a destination for your children that we typically don't say. Because for most of us, even before our kids were born, we had some destinations in mind, right? I mean, we obviously wanted them to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? Like Jesus, we wanted them to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. We want them to grow physically healthy. We want them to grow academically. We want them to be good citizens. We want them to be spiritual individuals. I would guess that most Christian parents want their children to become Christians. They want them to marry a Christian. They want them to have a Christian home and raise Christian children. Those who understand Scripture want their children to make that important personal decision to put their trust in Jesus, to be immersed in water for the remission of their sins. And so we talk about that important destination of baptism. And for most, it would be that their ultimate is our ultimate goal for our children is that they get to heaven. We have a whole lot of other destinations. Maybe it is that we were in the military, or you were in the military and you want your children to follow in your steps. Or maybe it is you were in the military and you don't want them to follow in your steps. Maybe it is that you think in terms of their academia. Perhaps it is in regards to their athleticism. Perhaps it is in some other element that you say, no, I want them to marry well. I want them to have children. Or more importantly, I want them to have grandchildren for me. That's the payoff for all of this. So we have all these destinations. And I think that for many of us, and I'm going to start with me, that the destination for my parenting was misguided. We try to accomplish. This is so fundamentally important, and because the destination is going to determine the strategy of our parenting. If you don't know specifically where you're going in your parenting, you're going to go all over. And perhaps more sobering is the fact that if you have a misguided destination for your children, that you will guide them towards that destination only to realize it's not ultimately where you wanted them to be. So we're going to try to kind of let Scripture lighten us up, enlighten a little bit the path that we need to take. So if you can imagine that for a moment that you're going to leave from here, I just was telling somebody that Tammy and I were coming to Fort Lauderdale via airplane on Thursday night. We were to leave Houston's Hobby Airport, fly to Austin, Texas, a 37-minute flight. There we were to change planes to take something that came from Austin nonstop then to Fort Lauderdale. Now, the weather had something else to say about that, and it got interrupted, and we got postponed, and we didn't get into Fort Lauderdale till after midnight. But we knew what the plan was. Had we got on that plane, he says, the weather is terrible in Austin, Texas, but good news. It's excellent in Billings, Montana. And so what we're going to do is we're going to fly to Billings, Montana. From there, you're going to change planes, and we just know that eventually you're going to end up on Sunday afternoon in Los Angeles, California. We'll just fly you there, and so much better. And I'm going to go, whoa, wait a minute. That's not the flight. That's not the trip that I booked. I have objectives. I have a destination that I need to accomplish in West Palm Beach. And so what happens? I go up to the counter and I said, this isn't right. And they go, why are you so concerned about it? We're still going to have drink service. You know, it's going to be a smoother flight. And I said, because it's not getting me where I want to go. I can also tell you that had they told me, yeah, well, we're still going to get you there, but we're going to fly you from Houston to Billings to L.A. to St. Louis to Pittsburgh to Baltimore, down then to Orlando, back over to Dallas, and then I'm going to go, there's got to be a better way, right? In other words, we want to know what that strategy is. So I want to propose to you that God has a destination for your children that was the destination that he had for his children. I'm going to really work hard not to preach, but there are some fundamental principles that I think are important. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, probably the best parenting advice that we get in all of Scripture is the parenting advice that God gives as he, as the perfect father, dealt with his children. Allow me just to read a portion of that. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord, keep his statutes, his commandments which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the flowing with the land of milk and honey. I see there two destinations that we might initially think is what God wanted from his children. The first of those is to commandment keep. Commandment keep. I suppose that you have at any point in your parenting said something to the effect of, because I said so, right? And that when we say so and our kids don't do what we say so, we find them, well, we're going to reinforce our strategy to get them to do the thing that now has become our destination for them. We say obedience. Obedience is what I want from my child, and I will just say that that often extends to what I want for my child is that they are obedient to God, because that's the destination that God has set for them. I will challenge you, not that obedience to you is wrong, and certainly not that obedience to God is wrong, but that was not what God's ultimate destination was for his people. In fact, later God would write that he was wearied by their obedience. He says, you are keeping the sacrifices, you are keeping the ceremonies, you are keeping the letter of the law, but you are not. Your heart is far from me. Listen very carefully. God's purpose for his commandments was that they would serve to lead us to him. Now you may find that you can crack the whip at home, that you can drop the gavel of judgment, that you can encourage, that you can threaten your children into obedience, and you can get them to obey. But you have not accomplished, and we have seen this time and time again with children who are taught that that is the objective, that when they leave home, guess what? They're going to set a new destination. In other words, it is not rule keeping in and of itself that is a destination. The second is that there is the perceived destination of all the good things that life or even God has to offer. Let me return you back. He says, listen, he says, keep these statutes that your day may be prolonged. That may be that you live long, and that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply in the land flowing with milk and honey. Do you hear all those things? He says, don't you want it to go well? Don't you want to be happy? Don't you want to be healthy? Don't you want to have children and build a family? Those would sound like the very things that we would want for our children. I just want you to have a better life than me. I just want you to not make some of the mistakes I made. I want you to get a good education, not because academics are important, but that way you can get a good job and you can enjoy some of the things in life without struggling financially. That you can provide for your family, for their needs and beyond. I want you to marry well. I want you to have all of these things. In other words, It may very well seem that God's ultimate objective for his children Israel was to get them to Canaan, the land of promise. For you and I, we're not looking for Canaan, we're looking for a spiritual Canaan, right? We want our children to what? Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to be with God? Don't you want to spend eternity away from sin, sorrow, suffering, sickness, death, and decay? That's why we're trying to get you to be who you're supposed to be, because heaven is our destination. I have come to the belief, and Tammy agrees, that heaven is not the destination that we want for our children. Now, before I misquoted or misunderstood, I don't mean that we don't want our children to be one day in heaven with God and His Son and His Spirit. In fact, son and a prodigal daughter, and we don't want him to come until things are right between him and them. So we want our children there, but if our destination is heaven and heaven only, then there is a lot about our parenting strategy that will be impacted, and we're convinced even impacted negatively. Because it's all about what? Digging a hole, putting a fence around it, razor wire on top, buying all the spam at Walmart, and hanging out till Jesus comes. We will build a bubble around our children. We will keep them at home as much as we can. We will keep them out of interacting in the world, but they've been left here to interact with the world as they share the gospel. We're just going to hunker down till Jesus comes, because our ultimate destination is heaven. Now, do I want obedience? Absolutely, and it is essential. Do I want my children to do well in this life? Of course. Do I want to see them in heaven? Absolutely. But God had a different destination for his children, and I believe that the best parenting we can do sets a different destination for our children. Listen to the very last couple of verses of that very same chapter. So the Lord commanded us to observe all of these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival. But listen to verse 25. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all of this commandment before the Lord our God, just as he commanded us. Okay, so let's see if we can put some of these things together. God has as a destination, listen carefully, God has as a destination for Israel the same destination that he had for Adam and Eve and all those who followed. The same destination that he has for you and I. God has what the writer describes as righteousness as our ulterior motive or our ultimate objective. Righteousness is the destination. Righteousness is the relationship that we share with God. Let's jump all the way back to the very beginning of what God wanted for his two kids. Adam and Eve. He put them in a perfect place. In other words, they had all the things that they needed and all the things that they could want. And with the exception of one thing, God said, that's your life. Your full dependence on me, our relationship, which produces for you health and longevity. And that one tree, just stay away from it. Because I don't want you depending on something other than me. I remind you that that tree was the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And with a degree of truth, the serpent deceived the woman and said, guess what? You won't die. You'll be like God. You'll be the one you can depend on. And they, without acting like I know anything about gambling, that's where they cast their lot on depending on self and found out how inadequate they were. They had everything want. And when Adam and Eve took of the tree that was not permitted, brought sin into the world and the consequences of sin, and that is death on them, and everything else that's terrible, God began at that moment and continues to this day with one objective in mind: I want my kids back. Now, as a father of a prodigal, I can tell you how important that is. In fact, it's so important that I have to realize that I need to be careful that I don't try to get my kids back in such a way as God not to get them back. And we'll talk more about them. We talk about discipline and difficult circumstances. In other words, I can't just want them back to me. I need them back to He. Does that make some sense? So righteousness becomes this new objective, and God has a strategy. It is a strategy that is described here as the commandments, which were nothing more than God's house rule to see that His purposes were accomplished. I remind you that much of what was commanded to Israel was not for their safety. I still can't figure out why He didn't want them to eat shrimp. Because I like shrimp. I also wonder how these people living out in the middle of the desert ever got in their hands on shrimp. That's just me, okay? I don't think the Dead Sea had shrimp, okay? But God said, listen, I want to take care of you because I want you to see me, as He would put it later. He says, I want to be your God and you be my people. That's relationship terminology. He says, that's what I want. Why would God send Jesus? We think it's just to cleanse us of our sins so we can enjoy heaven. It isn't. He died that you and I might be reconciled back to God. That was God's objective, and I'm convinced that that's God's objective for us as parents. To get our children to hold on to God, obviously through the person of Jesus Christ, but to do so, and the commandments that He gives are consistent with that. We'll talk a little bit later about the idea of rules for the sake of rules. Sometimes rules come out of the fact that, I just want it quiet. I have had to work all day, and so we're going to have quiet time. That's not for them. That's for me. So I'm just going to have rules. But how about rules that always lead towards relationship building? That doesn't mean not having rules so that I'm my kid's BFF. It means the fact that those are the strategies, and God said, I had all these rules, not just to randomly say, hey, here's how to slaughter a goat, okay? He says, these are the things that will bring you back to me. And the second is that not only was this strategy, but along the way, the relationship with God always produces great benefits. And so the blessings of, as we would describe them as followers of Jesus, the things of hope and joy and peace, and for that matter, life eternal, those are the results or the blessings of being in that relationship. And so when we put that destination of righteousness before us and then before our children, if you will, that the destination for our children is a right relationship with God in this life, that will result in blessings in this life and will result in a relationship with Him in eternal life, which carries along with it a number of blessings there. Does any of that make it any sense whatsoever? That God simply wants His kids back to Him. And simply put, as parents, at least Tammy and I are convinced that the best parenting comes when we set that destination before our children and create a strategy. Now, I admitted that that has not always been my strategy. My strategy was this. At the end of the day, I wanted to see that no one was dead, either by the hands of another or me. And if the kids were in the house and the doors were locked and no one was dead, I believed that I had my children, I had accomplished my responsibility with my children. Now, at the same time, we raised them, we thought, to be good spiritual young men and a young woman, and much of that has been reflected in their life. But there was a period of time where it's like, well, I don't know if I can keep from killing one of them. And Tammy says we should keep them connected to Jesus then, because point in time. And so we began to lay before them the objective of rules, right? These are the way that good Christian men and women live, and we're going to make sure that those are the rules. Whether it is God's rule about the things that we think, the things that we say, the things we involve with, what God has to say about curfew and bedtime. I mean, we enforced all of God's rules on that, and we made it quite clear that the commandments. I don't know where you guys and gals go. Been to Walmart and they go, the rules of our house are, we forgive often, we hug regularly. I would have taken that thing and made it into a board that I could have paddled the kids with, because that's the rule at our house, right? It wasn't quite that bad. I can say that because they are not here to tell you what it was like. But we went through that, right? That our objective was to keep, for them to keep the commandments. And our objective was for them one day to make that decision that resulted in their immersion. And that our objective was for them to live the way spiritual people were supposed to, because we had the destination of heaven. And I'm telling you, this is the result of Tammy and my's process and a realization that much of what we did, simply put, was wrong. It's not until our children were much older and some of them even out of the house that we began to realize that we had to let them go, and that there was not enough rule that we could put on them to ensure their safety. We let them go. And so we have worked since then to the extent that it's possible and tried to encourage other parents like you to say, if you can, recalibrate your destination. A church that we worked with in California on Sunday evenings, they have a little Bible drill for the kids. You may have something here like it, and the kids all came down front, and there was a little Bible drill, you know, how many books are there in the Bible, how many in the Old Testament, how in the New Testament, maybe some other Bible fact about the apostles, or what does Genesis 1:1 say? And there was one of the questions that was asked to the young men and the young women there that now vexes me. And it said, what is the greatest reward or the greatest objective in life? And the answer in that particular quiz is to get to heaven. Well, first of all, heaven isn't in this life. The question is misstated. The objective is what? Right living before God. I'm happy to say that eventually they changed and they would say, what's the greatest objective in life? And the kids would say, right living before God and get to heaven. Okay, so they still got it in there. But the idea was what the Apostle Paul tells the church in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. It's a prayer for them. If you will, as a spiritual father and them as his spiritual children. He says, I pray that you continue to increase in knowledge. The word knowledge there is not simply an academic understanding, but certainly begins with an academic understanding. But he says, but not enough for you to know the facts. He says, I want you to continue to grow in your spiritual wisdom and understanding. In other words, quit looking at things the way you look at them, but look at them the way that God looks at them and from His perspective. But He says, it's not, I don't want you to just know it. I don't want you just to believe it. He says that you might walk worthy. And walk worthy, though not grammatically, but conceptually, is an equivalence to this idea of righteousness. Here's what I want. I want you, my children, Paul says, and what I hope I say now as a parent, and that you will, here's what I want from you. I want you to walk worthy. I want you to walk hand in hand with God. I want him to be the one that holds on to you. I want him to be the one that leads you. I want him to be the one that protects you. I want him to be the one that you depend and rely on. I want him to do everything that I can't do. I want him to reward you beyond everything. My prayer for my children every night is this: care for them in the way that I can't and only you can. That's what I want for my children now at almost 43, and I wished I had been a little more focused on it when they were 3, because they were all in there for a while. So recalibrate your destination for your children, because it will be required, or your understanding of that destination will impact every other decision you make, no matter what season of parenting you're in. If you're just going to try to get them back to you as a parent, if you're just going to get them to obedience, if you're just going to get them back to healthy, wealthy, and wise, or if you're going to try to get them in a relationship with God, it will determine every decision that you make as a parent. And so that's what we want to try to encourage you to do today. Here's the way we're going to try to do that. As I said, we're going to move from technical or theological to more practical, but we're going to have two different breakout sessions. I'll just say it's always weird to do a parenting seminar when Tammy's not alongside of me, because here's what I decided. When we were here and did marriage stuff, I could talk to the guys about husband, 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 right? And Tammy could talk to the ladies about wife, 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 and the whole idea is, by the way, much like parenting, we just hope we come together and no one dies. Okay, so we do that, but parenting is not dad and mom, it's parents. Now, we have individual responsibilities, but it is really hard as we begin to make delineation to go, that's dad's job and parenting, and that's mom's job parenting, and so it feels a little weird. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you ladies an opportunity here directly from Tammy about some of those things that are maybe mom-specific, at least in our first breakout here in just a few minutes. And then this afternoon in our breakout, actually Tammy and I are going to cover the exact same material. Tammy from a woman's perspective to you ladies, and I'm going to share the exact same thing with you men. And so everybody's going to hear the same thing. We're going to come back after our breakout this morning. We're going to talk about discipline and what discipline looks like for those of you who are waiting to find out if I'm going to talk about spanking or not. I'm not. We're not going to do that. But as my father said, I would like you to have the discipline session and you still have the ability to sit down afterwards. Okay, so I'm just saying. And then we come back after lunch. We're going to do, like I said, the one breakout, but then we're going to talk about three different elements. Number one, we're going to talk about some of the difficult, at least four that we've identified, four difficulties pregnancy. And let me tell you what those four difficulties are. Josh, Kyle, Jeremy, and Daniel. Okay, those are four difficulties because Leslie was just a nightmare. But anyway, no, but in parenting, we're going to talk a little bit about those, about four really difficult situations that we believe parents are facing today. We're going to talk about the seasons of parenting, and that's where those of you who have some older kids are going to find out, I should have killed them when I could. You know, no, I mean, I didn't mean to say it that way. But we're going to talk about older kids, we're going to talk about younger kids, and we think it'll be applicable. And then at the very end of our day, a very quick from me, rapid fire on, here's some things we have learned after, you know, 43 years of marriage, 5 kids and 10 grandkids, if you will. It'll be a little bit of a review, but it'll be kind of like, if you're going to walk away with anything, these are some things that we think will help you. We want to be open to your questions, but here's what we find is that we have marriage seminars questions load a gun that usually shoot us in the foot, because one spouse says, well, my husband's a good for nothing, or some wife, my wife's as lazy as can be, and I'm like, okay, they're sitting right there. So we don't take questions. We'd welcome your questions, but here's the thing. We're not going to be able to deal with every different parenting scenario. So what we want to do is, if you have a question, you're welcome to jot it down. We'll take one of us, or if you just need one of our cards and say, I just got a question about something, we'll talk about that. We'd be glad to continue to communicate with you about that. So by that, which will be the master clock for our day, it shows about 1 or 2 minutes after 10. At 10:15, guys, again, you've pulled the short straw. You'll be back in here. Ladies, just out to your right and to your right over into this neighboring classroom. That's where Tammy will have you. But like I said, let's take a stretch break of about 15 minutes to get a drink or get rid of a drink, whatever you need to do. Thanks for being here, everybody.